This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 30th, 2023. The Fourth Sunday of Easter, or Good Shepherd Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
For you were sheep going astray.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Good Shepherd Sunday. Use the past few years to be pointing out some, let us just say, deficiencies in some shepherding techniques. Not going to go there today. Not even going to talk about shepherds, except for, say, the fact that we need to keep our eyes on the true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to talk today about is the sheep. That's us. We have to understand ourselves, not think more highly of ourselves than we are. A lot of people don't like the whole sheep mentality. Sheep are stupid. Not so much that they're stupid, they just do what they want. They do their sheep thing. They kind of wander off by themselves, they do their thing. And sometimes they'll listen to the shepherd, he starts nudging them, other times they don't. This is the life of the sheep. We have to make sure that we are attentive because we're not stupid. We do have intellect. We're not like sheep in the fact that they can't reason, we can. We have to approach our Catholic lives with this understanding of, in a sense, we're sheep, yeah, the spiritual sense. What I mean by that, you get into this whole, everybody thinks that their view on spirituality is the end-all be-all. They're right, everybody else is wrong, everybody who doesn't agree with them is wrong. I've heard people make some of the most ridiculous arguments in theological discourses, and it's like, have you ever read the scriptures? Do you actually know what the other parts say about what you're trying to say? You just lose it. They like to do what they want to do. They like to understand how they understand things. We had a visitor a couple weeks ago, got back to me from the person who invited the person. Well, they said they liked some things and they didn't like other things. Wow. I didn't remember one time saying their name from any of the prayers that I said or focusing the attention on them at all. I like, I don't like. This is God's worship. No matter what we like, we're not here to like what's going on. That's not what this is about. That's a deficiency. That's doing what you want to do. That's a sheep. And I'm saying this isn't necessarily a bad sheep. It is a sheep who wants to do their own thing. This is what we have to avoid. We have to know our place. This is around. How do we know our place? Our Lord lets us know. If we're attentive, if we listen, then we know our place. That's what he's here for. He's here for because we are sheep that are going astray. Notice it says, some of you were sheep going astray, for you were sheep going astray. Isaiah chapter 53, messianic prophecy, one of the biggies. One of the reasons the Messiah has to come is all we like sheep have gone astray. Not some of you, all have gone astray. This is just our lot in life. Because why? We do what we think is right and not necessarily listen to the voice of the shepherd. This is the reality. We need to listen to the voice of the shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. And indeed, our Lord ascended into heaven, but he left under-shepherds in his stead down here. And to be a good under-shepherd, you need to follow the marching orders of, present the words of, the teachings of the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. But he looked at St. Peter after his reconciliation, and during that reconciliation, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He appoints Peter This is when it comes to the fore. Remember when he goes, "You are Peter on this rock." He doesn't say, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build. I am building my church." He says, "I will build in the future." This is now. This is where he feed my sheep. That's what the Petrine ministry is about: feeding the sheep, and feeding the sheep the food that our Lord Jesus Christ has laid out for them. Those pastors, because even the shepherd of the sheep, Saint Peter, talking to other under-shepherds, says, "Feed the flock of God, being made a pattern of the flock from the heart. When the Prince of Pastors shall appear, you shall receive a never-fading crown of glory." Any under-shepherd in this world has to be on notice that they need to reckon with the fact that the Prince of Pastors is going to hold them to account as to how they presented the truths of God, how they, let us say, maintain the requirements of the sheep. That will be the telling factor for under-shepherds. That we all, under-shepherd or not, are part of the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ. Cleric, lay faithful, doesn't make any difference. We all need to heed the words of, I'm a cleric, I don't have to listen to what Jesus says. It's just the opposite. They need to learn and listen to more closely the voice of the shepherd, because they will be held responsible for the charges that have been put under them in this world, that part of Christ's flock over which the under-shepherd has authority. This is the reality. But to understand how we need to relate to the good shepherd and our under-shepherds, one with another, we have to understand that this is not a collective mentality when we're talking about sheep. You start talking about sheep, you can kind of fall into this whole plural thing, the flock. We're talking about individual sheep here. Each individual sheep has to listen to the words of the pastor, the good shepherd. We need to be attentive to that, because each and every one of us as individuals benefit from this. The first and foremost shepherd prayer in the whole scripture is Psalm 23. A lot of people have that one memorized because it's so familiar. Psalm 22 for you guys who use the Douay Rheims. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. His rod and his staff, they comfort me," and so on. Notice the tense in the whole thing. Where is the case? It is not "the Lord is our shepherd, he maketh us to lie down." It's "the Lord is my shepherd." We have to approach the Lord Jesus. We are answerable for us whether or not we are listening to what the Lord, not what we like or dislike, or not what we think is right, okay, but what he says. And a lot of people major on some pretty minor things that they think are important, and they lose sight of the forest for the trees when it comes to our good shepherd's instructions and admonitions and rebukes at times. We need to, as good sheep, listen to what he has to say, because we have requirements. We differ from sheep because we have a rationale. We have the ability to reason. But with that reason, we need to understand that there are some things that we need. St. Robert Bellarmine, he points out eight things that sheep require. Rich pasture, pure water, one to bring them back if they stray, to be brought through easy passages, protection from wolves and wild beasts, support when tired or weak, to be cured if injured or ill, and at the end of their journey to have a home wherein they may rest securely. Those are the necessities of sheep. Those are, in a spiritual, let's bring this home to each and every one of us. These are our spiritual requirements. For us to complete this journey, God, I don't want you to get into this kind of illustration of, the shepherd brings the sheep out from the barn and takes them out in the pasture and then brings them out to the barn. And that. We're not talking that kind of shepherding. We're talking about shepherding where we leave point A and we move to point B. The shepherd bringing the flock along a path that is fraught with danger, that is just dangerous in and of itself. This is what he does. He's bringing them to a point, or trying. The Good Shepherd is trying to bring you to a point where you will reach the end of your journey securely, where you may rest. And what we're talking about is for all eternity. Because eternity is that resting spot. We are dealing in this with that arduous Exodus experience journey. From point A, our baptisms, to point B, heaven. If we listen to what the shepherd says. And there are requirements to this. That first one, and this is arguably the most important. Rich pastor. We can lose sight of this whole kind of churchy top pastures and grass, everything. But if you pay attention and you look at these different parts of scripture that emphasize certain things like pastor, you see our Lord tie them into things that you wouldn't really recognize, like if you just read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall want. He leads me into green pastures. Okay. Leads me into green. Sounds very churchy. And a foreshadowing of the institution of the Eucharist, which are the miracles of the feeding of the thousands. In the Gospel of John, before the feeding of the 5,000, John says, gives us it, and our Lord told his apostles, make them sit down in companies. And he divides the people, sit them down in an orderly manner. And there was much green grass there. What does that have to do with feeding 5,000 people with a couple loaves and a couple fish? What does that have to do with our Lord, foreshadowing the institution of the Eucharist? To throw in there's much green grass there. Well, if you know Psalm 23, and the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord will bring me into these green pastures. All of a sudden, it's not the prophet Jesus, the rabbi Jesus, who is doing this. This tying in of Psalm 23 with, and there was much green grass there. It ties the two in. It ties this foreshadowing of the Eucharist in with the green pastures. This is not just an itinerant rabbi. The one who leads us to green pastures is the Lord, which leads to the institution of the Eucharist, what our Lord Jesus Christ says, my flesh is meat indeed. This is what you eat to strengthen you for this journey that you are on. This is the food that you eat that opens you up to the truths of the gospel, which is another way that he feeds us in the green pastures, and that is the food of his word. Food that our Lord Jesus Christ has presented to us in an unadulterated manner. Food that is rich. Food that is very healthy for us. Can you imagine for a moment a shepherd who would lead their sheep? I know that grass over there is what the good shepherd said that we should feed them. I'm thinking that I'll bring them over here, though. I know it's not quite as good as that, but I think it's okay. Because if they go over there, there could be problems. We live in a day where pastors, shepherds, under-shepherds, the Word of God says this, and yeah, but let's leave that part out, because that might be difficult for the sheep. Or that might be something that the sheep misunderstand. Well, explain it to them. The first reading today for the book of Acts, gotta love this one. St. Peter is presenting to the Jews that they have killed God's son, in a nutshell. He's very explicit about this. This Jesus, whom you crucified, the Lord of glory, confirmed by God, by miracles, all these other things, you killed him. Some of them take the words to heart. Brethren, what shall we do? Which you're in a true quandary when you are confronted with the fact that you've killed God's son. What do we do to fix that? Peter does not respond, well, you're children of Abraham, so, and I know you were looking for God. You thought you were doing what was right. So you were just following your heart. That's okay. No, that's not what he says. He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. It doesn't make any difference that you're Jews. It doesn't make any difference that you claim Abraham as your father. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's the message. That's the food. That's the green pasture. Not this nonsense. There are many pathways that are... It says exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. But that's what you hear from so many quarters in our day and age. There are many pathways. No, one. One doorway. The gospel today, right? That is the unadulterated food that makes you strong. That gets you through this mess. Okay, so this is the food that our Lord's talking about. The Eucharist, His Word. Those things are what nurture us on this journey. Sheep need pure water. Not a lot to be said about that one. With Jesus with the woman at the well, the water that I give shall become a fountain of water springing up unto life everlasting. This other water that you get from this guy, this prophet who came along after me, or this water that you get from law keeping and everything, you will thirst again because you can't keep the law. You'll thirst again because that water is not the water from the true fountain that I am. This is our Lord. He is the fountain of everlasting life. This is where we get. Outside of Jesus, there is no pure water. You can drink nasty water for a while if you're really thirsty. Believe I have to had to do it before. You can drink some nasty water if you're really that thirsty, and it will keep you alive. You drink too much, it's going to make you sick. That's happened to me also. Bad sick. Yeah, it'll keep you alive. It'll hydrate you, but it's not good for you. We need clean water. We need pure water. And that is a fountain that wells up from the being of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sheep need someone to bring them back if they stray. I don't stray. I go to Mass on Sunday. Do we stray? Every time we sin. Every time we sin. Even venial sin. The venial sin is like that little time when the sheep's like not really paying attention, kind of nibbling at the grass. Or he sees something, he goes, oh, I like that. Yeah, squirrel. You know, he goes over there and wants to do that kind of stuff. It's easily corrected, but it's still a deviation. Oh, I want to nibble this for a while. Listen to the shepherd. He calls you back. You talk about your serious sins. These can happen maybe not out of just overt disobedience of the sheep. It can happen by accident. In the confessional, in my office, I get, and it really kind of floors me, Kayla, I didn't even know that was a sin. And I'm like, facepalm, how can you not? Hey, that's a biggie. I didn't even know it was a sin. That's a problem. That's where the sheep, they just go off the rails. They're just all off somewhere else. You know, but then there's other sheep who just will not listen to the pastor. They just won't listen to the shepherd. Hey, don't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. And they run. We need one to bring us back when we do that. That bringing us back is called the confessional. This is what we need to bring us back. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, He will leave the 99 who have not strayed to go find their... But never lose sight of this. The lost sheep. A sheep who's gone afar and is lost. They want to come back, but they're lost. This is not the sheep who bolts from the flock. The shepherd calls, the shepherd tries to chase them, but every time the shepherd gets there, they keep running away. That's something completely different. That's not a lost sheep. That is sheep that is being just disobedient outright. So we're not talking about that here. But our Lord will beckon those who stray to come back. This is what, you know, we should glory in that. So why should we appreciate the confessional? We should take advantage of the confessional. Because our Lord is bringing us back when we've strayed. The next one. To be brought through easy passages. I don't like to, and I'm not correcting St. Robert Bellarmine. He's saint and he's Robert Bellarmine. He's one of the biggies. Love him to death. To be brought through easy passages. I know what he meant, but I think it would be for us anyway, in our day and age, it would be not easy passages necessarily, but safe passages. This is what he's talking about. because the passage might not necessarily be easy. This life of faith is not easy. If we keep listening to the shepherd, the passages will be safe. We will endure the things that we have to endure on occasion to be safe. And if we listen to the shepherd, he will bring us to those places. It might be steep. It might be a little bit rocky. Might be a lot rocky. There might be some obstacles. But the good shepherd knows where other dangers might be more important to avoid. If we listen to him, and as hard as it may get, we will go and he will bring us through the safest passages. That's our Lord. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. Not just take up your cross, follow me. Our Lord's been there and dealt with all the stuff that we have to deal with on this journey. He's been over the paths before. We just need to follow him. Take him as our example. The next one. Protection from wolves and wild beasts. Wolves and wild beasts are not to be let anywhere near the flock. So, everyone isn't welcome into the sheepfold. The all aren't welcome nonsense. I am overwhelmed. I cannot throw out enough adjectives as to how disconnected with shepherding that statement is. And you hear it all the time. All are welcome. That's not true. That is not true. Because all would include wolves and wild beasts. All are welcome. And even in that presentation, they don't mean all. There will be people who beat their wives and beat their kids, or people who steal constantly, or arsonists or murderers. They don't mean them. They mean a group of people who are wild beasts, who will injure and destroy, kill the flock and the sheep if you let them come in. All are well. No, they're not. Any shepherd worth the title, any shepherd who understands what a shepherd does, would never say that word. Any sheep that would hear that should flee from that shepherd. Should flee. Because it's not true. Say Robert Bellarmine. They need to be protected from wolves and wild beasts. But our Lord Jesus Christ is gracious and merciful. In the Proto-Evangelium, the first time we hear about the coming of a Messiah who's going to save us, it is when God is rebuking Satan for what happened in the garden. And he does not look at him and say, and there's going to be one coming, he's going to be gracious and merciful, and you're going to be really sorry. He said, there's one going to be coming who is going to crush your head. He's going to crush the head of the serpent. A serpent is another beast that is not allowed in the flock because they bite them and they kill them with their poison. That's why Jesus, when he gives the commission, he says, you will take up serpents. That's what he's talking about. There's a little anecdote at the end of the book of Acts where St. Paul, they survive the shipwreck. And some of the locals bring them in. And they're, these guys must have been innocent because, they survived the shipwreck. And they were condemned. And then they're sitting around a campfire and a poisonous snake latches on to St. Paul's hand. And they're like, whoa, that guy there, he was guilty because he survived the shipwreck. But now look, he's got the, what does St. Paul do? He shakes the serpent into the fire. That's cruelty to animals. And no, okay, that's St. Paul crushing the head of the serpent. Under shepherds are supposed to this day, by commission, take up serpents. Take them up and bring them into the fold. Take them up and cast them into the fire. Keep the sheep safe from them. This is protection from wolves and wild beasts. The next requirement, support when they are tired or weak. This journey, trying to figure this stuff out. Again, this is why we shouldn't try to figure it out. We should just listen to the shepherd. We try to figure things out. Why the shepherd says what he says. Why he does what he does in our lives. And it makes us weak. And it is laborious. Our Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hey, come to me, everyone. Come to me if you just want some rest. You don't need rest if you're not heavy laden and burdened. Our Lord calls to those who are, because of their journey, tired. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he doesn't end there. Take my yoke upon you. We're very prideful. We don't like the yoke thing. What is a yoke? It keeps you close to someone. You can't go where you want. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you. Keep yourself close. Don't do what you want. You can't do what you want. It's dangerous. Take my yoke upon you. It is easy. My burden is light. It is a yoke. It is a burden. But it's light. And by light, he means it's not dangerous. If you don't put my yoke on, you're going to be doing what you want. You're going to go. And then the wolves and the wild beasts are going to get you. So he is our support when we're tired or weak. He is our physician when we are injured or ill. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Occasionally the sheep get sick. Sin, real sickness, spiritual sickness, illness. We get injured, circumstances, life, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, whatever the situation, we get injured. He's waiting there to heal us. If we'll do what he says, not what we want, not to bring ourselves back the way things used to be. If sometimes you get injured and guess what? You have a scar. That's the price of doing business. We're going to get beat up in this journey. We've got the great physician there with us. Our Lord has told us that that is what he does. And then the last thing at the end of the journey, to have somewhere wherein we may rest securely. That's heaven. That's heaven. This is where this journey leads. We can have some pretty nice spots where we stop on the way there, but heaven is that place where we can rest securely for all eternity. We're not going to know we get there until that true shepherd of the sheep looks at us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Well done, good and faithful servant. That whole works thing. Well done. What did you do? You listened to him. You followed him. You yoked yourself to him. Well done. Good. You didn't do what you wanted to do. You followed me. I am the good shepherd, the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He said before, he's that doorway. There are not many. They're not a couple. There is just one, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he established one church, the Catholic Church. That's his sheepfold. I'm not saying that other people aren't sheep and all this other kind of stuff like that. But that's for the shepherd to deal with, not us. If we listen to the good shepherd, you're going to be a Catholic, because that's the fold that he established. That's all there is to it. I don't like that. Just like the person, I don't like that. I did like that. That is completely subjective. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way in there. He has established his church as the vehicle through which we enter into. This is the reality of things. We just have to keep ourselves yoked to that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.